This is News Radio 105.9 WBBM's All Local. Listen and subscribe for Chicago's most up-to-date news each weekday morning and afternoon. Now from the WBBM newsroom, these are the most important news stories from the Chicago area.
But first, at 3, a member of Congress from Chicago's western suburbs says he's sad that a town hall meeting was forced to shut down just minutes after it happened because of disruptions from pro-Palestinian demonstrators. The story is new at 3. WBBM's Haley Hansen has been trying to reach the congressman. She's here at the anchor desk with what we know now. Haley.
Lisa, Democrat Sean Kasten of Downers Grove was escorted out of the Indian Prairie Library in Darien by police after protesters, in his words, refused to allow last night's event to continue.
Every public event that you've been at, we have called you out on your bullcrap, and you continue to walk away from us like the coward you are. You should be ashamed of yourself. You have no right to be in office.
That's audio of protesters accosting Kasten as he left the town hall meeting. He represents one of the nation's largest Palestinian-American populations. Afterward, he posted to X about the town hall, saying the protest, quote, does not accelerate peace, does not bring hostages home, does not reduce the radicalization that's occurred on both sides of the Green Line since October 7th, and doesn't lead to a greater democratic wisdom. Reporting live from the Anchor Desk, Haley Hansen, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
Now to Indiana, where jurors today heard opening statements in the murder trial of Richard Allen. He's charged with killing teenagers Abby Williams and Libby German 7 years ago in Delphi. Reporter Russ McQuaid from CBS 4 Indianapolis.
Prosecutor Nicholas McLeland told jurors that Richard Allen is bridge guy, the man who stalked Libby and Abby on the bridge that day, whose image was captured on Libby's cell phone. And he matches the description of a man seen on the Monon High Bridge in the minutes before the girls were abducted, and that Allen has confessed that he knew details only the killer would know. And investigators found a bullet that matches Allen's gun at the site where the girls' bodies were discovered.
Prosecutors said the girls' throats were cut. A defense lawyer says there's plenty of reasonable doubt. If convicted, Allen could face up to 130 years in prison. We're learning this afternoon that Northwestern University is suing one of the makers of the COVID-19 vaccines used around the world. They say it would not have been possible without research done at the college. Attorneys for Northwestern sued Moderna in federal court in Delaware this week. The lawsuit claims the vaccine developed by Moderna relied on discoveries made by three researchers at Northwestern's International Institute for Nanotechnology. The school isn't saying what it's seeking in damages, but says it's not trying to stop use of the Moderna vaccine. People voting in Chicago have a chance to elect members of the city's Board of Education for the first time in the modern era. And today, some of the candidates in the election talked to potential voters during forums on the north and south sides.
The questions include whether the new board, appointed by the mayor after the previous board resigned, will okay a high-interest loan. Also, the future of school CEO Pedro Martinez. The loan became a contentious issue that prompted the mayor to ask for his resignation. We're in the gym at a Salvation Army Center in Inglewood, where hundreds turned out. Bridget White, a mother of two CPS students, says the new board members need to care about the children.
They're more than just test scores, but actually care about the whole child and all the resources that's needed.
And it's going to be quite a different school board from 7 to 21.
Mm-hmm. But I think that's a good thing because they have to listen to the people.
10 board members are being elected. The mayor appoints 10 and the board president. He still has a majority. 2 years from now, all 21 members will be elected. And Inglewood, Mike Krauser, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
And you can find a complete election guide, including more information about school board candidates, by clicking the banner link across the top of our homepage at WBBMNewsRadio.com. Mayor Brandon Johnson says he has not talked to White Sox owner Jerry Weinsdorf about the potential sale of the team, but he hopes it stays on the south side. The sports news site called The Athletic quoted sources this week as saying Reinsdorf is now open to selling the team he's controlled since the 80s and is in active discussions about what a deal might look like. At an unrelated event at the Garfield Park Conservatory this afternoon, the mayor said athletics in general is a big economic driver for the city.
My hope is that, you know, we figure out something, his family figures out something, much like they're doing on the west side. The 1901 project, that's a $7 billion investment from Danny and Michael Reinsdorf. So my feeling is that this is an important staple to the city of Chicago and our economic viability. I hope that he and his family or others can figure out how to keep them here.
No comment yet from Reinsdorf or the Sox. One of the recent stops in our Made in Chicago series was a store on Chicago's Northwest Side that specializes in a wide variety of horror merchandise. Now, the owners of the store are back in the news because they say they're being forced to move. WBBM's Jim Goodis talked to them. He's here at the Anchor Desk with that story.
Lisa, Moses Gibson is one of the co-owners of the Horror House on Belmont near Francisco in the Avondale neighborhood, which recently had a massive water leak.
It starts with a pipe that busted in the unit that's above us, in which our landlord actually resides in with his family. And it was actually the second time that pipe busted. It wasn't even the first time.
Gibson says that damaged the store and some of its merchandise. It also led to the discovery of mold contamination. He says all of that is forcing the Horror House to close and move to a new location on Milwaukee Avenue near Kimball Avenue. But the new shop isn't expected to open until December. The timing couldn't be worse since business peaks at the Horror House from October through December. That's why the owners started a GoFundMe campaign to help them with the transition and get the new store off to a good start. Live at the Anchor Desk, Jim Goodis, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
Hey, Jim, work has now begun on creating a hub in South Shore near the Obama Center for a transformative real estate project that favors local residents.
With an expected opening in 2026, developers from out of state and out of country have had their eyes and hands on much of the property surrounding the Obama Presidential Center. But with the placement of a new community development center on 71st Street in Crandon, right in the middle of the closest commercial corridor to the Obama Center, South Shore Community Development Corp. and the South Shore Chamber of Commerce aim to keep as much of it in the hands of local stakeholders as possible.
There's no one better to solve our problems than the people that live right here in the South Shore community.
Tanya Trice is executive director of the South Shore CDC.
We have created what's called a community investment vehicle where residents in the community can pool their resources together to acquire many of the community-based assets and create a shared development strategy.
Trice tells us that the goal is to fill the corridor with the types of businesses that residents demand, dine-in restaurants, more retail, entertainment, and a nightlife. Located at 2309 East 71st, this new community development center is being dubbed 2309 Place and is expected to be finished by early summer of next year. In South Shore, Brandon Eisen, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
From the AppleChevy.com sports desk, good afternoon. 6-7 the score is Mike Esposito.
Lisa, thank you. We have afternoon baseball action at Citi Field in New York as the Mets host the Dodgers trying to stave off elimination. LA up 3-1. They send Jack Flaherty against the Mets' David Peterson. Tonight, the Guardians will try to even up the series. They got a dramatic season-saving win last night. Two clutch homers to both tie the game in the ninth and then win game three against the Yankees. It's Luis Gil for the Yanks tonight, Grant Williams for the Guards. And again, that series 2-1. Hockey, the Blackhawks off to a good start to their season, including last night's 4-2 win over San Jose. Rick Gregg has more.
2-2-1 works for Luke Richardson.
I'm happy with how we've played pretty much. I keep adding on games, but except for that first period of the season, pretty solid.
But there's always room for improvement, especially with the puck.
Scoring on the power play, creating more scoring chances, maybe off of our forecheck. And then, you know, obviously our line rushes, I think we can probably clean up a little bit and do a little better job and have a little more direct straight line and try and create a little bit more offense in those areas without opening it wide up.
The Blackhawks have scored two power play goals in two games already this year, including last night. That's something they only did five times all of last season. Covering the Blackhawks, Rick Gregg, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
Basketball, the Bulls' final preseason tune-up is tonight at the United Center. You can check it out on 670 The Score, starting at 6:45. It's against Cleveland. Alonzo Ball made his long-awaited comeback from three major knee surgeries on Wednesday. He'll be back playing tonight on a minutes limit. Football, the Bears on their bye week, but they'll be keeping a close eye on Green Bay, who hosts Houston. Detroit traveling to Minnesota. With sports at 16:46, I'm 670 The Score's Mike Esposito on News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
A man arrested several times for impersonating a police officer has won another round in court.
A Cook County judge threw out evidence against Robert Ellis in a 2021 case that accused him of pretending to be a cop outside Guaranteed Rate Field. The Sun-Times reports the now 66-year-old showed Chicago police officers, real ones, an ID from the Beta United States Railroad Corporation. Judge Carol Howard found the officers did not have probable cause to stop Ellis. She's the same judge who tossed evidence in a 2018 impersonation case. Prosecutors have eventually dismissed. In that, Ellis was accused of posing as a police commissioner from Pembroke Township, a department the Kankakee Sheriff's Office says doesn't exist. The paper says Ellis was convicted of impersonating a cop twice in the 90s. He's representing himself in court and now asking the judge to throw out evidence in a separate case from 2021. Nancy Hardy, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
All Local is a production of News Radio 105.9 WBBM, Chicago's news, traffic, and weather station. Please like and subscribe to this podcast on the Odyssey app to continue receiving up-to-date news and information.